This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
It's just after 1 o'clock, 106 to be exact. Food for Thought is brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and Express Jewelry Center on South Main and Concord, expressjewelrynh.com for precision repair and sales. And we invite you to join the Pulse, broadcasting live tomorrow morning, 1st of May. It's the New Hampshire Wake-Up Show, and they are live for the grand opening of Sear Lumber and Home Center, located right off Exit 7 off I-89 in Warner, broadcasting live tomorrow. All the fun takes place, and this weekend they've got huge store-wide savings on most items, giving away a Weber gas grill as well. I'm such a grill guy. I've had a couple Webers, and they are, I would call them kind of the workhorses of the propane. Although I had one that was natural gas, because where I lived in Hooksett is I actually had them plumb the natural gas into the Weber,
really?
So that I never had to go out and get tanks or anything.
That's great.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. And now where I live in a place that's got propane gas, so I had the same, just plumb right in. Never run out of gas when you're
that's great.
When you're barbecuing.
You know, that happens a lot.
It does. So get over, maybe win yourself a Weber gas grill. Say hello to Peter and the whole crew for the New Hampshire Wake Up Show tomorrow at Sear Lumber grand opening in Warner.
There you go. All right. And we are up next. We are going to hear from our crazy friend.
My girlfriend.
Down in Delaware. So let's welcome Donna from Delaware. Donna's Delights down in Delaware. Hi, Donna.
Hey, how y'all doing? Did Mike say natural gas or he's full of gas?
The answer to that is yes.
Yes to what? Full of gas or natural gas?
Yes, the answer to both of those questions.
Oh, okay. I know you was yes. Full of something, but yeah. Okay.
Hey. Wow. I'm not feeling the love all of a sudden, girlfriend.
Oh, baby, you're always going to get the love. You hear me? Always get the love.
Well, did you notice that you, I don't know if you even noticed, but you friended me on Facebook, which is probably a dangerous thing to do.
Oh, no. It's dangerous that you requested to be my friend.
Oh.
Give it right back to him.
You was dying to be my friend, wasn't you?
Oh. I don't know where you've been all my life, quite honestly.
I know. Where have you been? So y'all doing all right up there?
We are. We're getting ready for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah. You got your sombrero?
Some what?
A sombrero.
Oh, a sombrero. Sorry.
What? A sombrero. You got your tequila.
Yeah, we need the tequila before anything else. Yeah. We need some good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So what's happening in your life since we last spoke to you, Donna?
I've been sitting here drinking something called Tiger's Milk that I made up.
I've heard of that.
No.
She made it up, Mike.
No, you didn't hear this. No, this is my own concoction.
Really? All right, talk to me about it.
Well, I had one teaspoon of turmeric, one teaspoon of ginger, 3 tablespoons of honey, and I had some coconut milk, and I sipped it very warm. And I'm thanking God for all my stretch marks because every tiger earns its stripes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the best line of the day that I've heard.
You are too funny.
You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy every part of you. I said I earned every stripe on my body.
That's right. I'm with you.
And then someday the gray hair will come in, but I'm sure you don't have any of that yet, Donna.
Oh, I have that. I have it in 2 places, but we ain't going to mention all that. But I do have it, but it's all good. You hear me?
We do appreciate that. Yes, thank you very much. So Tiger's Milk, is that very healthy? What's it taste like?
It tastes good. Well, yeah, I put ginger and turmeric in it. And so ginger, you know, ginger tastes like ginger. You eat ginger snaps, and I had some honey with it and some turmeric. And turmeric it's good for inflammation, so that's why I drank that today.
So you just made that up, and you're just sipping on that right now.
Yeah, I made it up, and I said I was because you see things about turmeric, and you see things about ginger, and so I like the taste of ginger, and I know that turmeric has the anti-inflammation. You know, I'm dealing with this allergy and sinus thing all the time, so
okay.
I took that today. Yes, I did.
There you go. So what else is happening in the life of Donna down in Delaware?
Well,
what else have
I
you been
made
doing?
A great recipe last
Ooh.
Week. Mm-hmm. And I found it, and it was called funeral roll.
And funeral like roll?
Funeral, like dead people funeral.
Really? That's what I thought you said.
Yes. Funeral rolls.
Yes.
Really?
All right.
And you know, losing anyone or anything is not an easy thing.
No,
and
sure.
Funerals are really hard. So I was on the fence with the name. So I'll call this one Ride or Dieter Turkey Slider. How y'all like that?
I do.
I kind of like it. So what does it consist of?
Well, let me tell you my story. Can I get to my story?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, I was reading about this sandwich, and they used to serve them during a repast or a layout. Now, my mom and dad used to tell me stories back when they were growing up in Iron Hill, and when a family member passed away for a viewing, they would display the body at my grandmother's house, which they always called Up House. But don't ask me why they always called it Up House. But I called it the Addams Family Home because it was big and creepy. And the only thing that they didn't have was Lurch answering the door.
But you rang.
They did have a dog named Wimpy, and he would answer the door. So now at these layouts, a.k.a. viewings, they would lay the person right out in my grandmother's living room. And the body would stay there all night long. Can y'all imagine having a body in y'all's house all night long?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how they used to do it all the time.
They did, but it's pretty creepy.
That's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me.
They would lay the body out there all night long, and the undertaker would come and get it and take it to the church the next morning. And I was like this, well, if I had to eat a sandwich with Uncle Fester landed in the living room, I would be a big problem, y'all. Unless if they serve those sweet honey rolls. Because you know why?
Mm-mm.
Bread is my weakness. You give me a good roll, and I am.
I'm so, with you.
It's like giving a fat kid Doritos. You got me, y'all. You got me. Now, this recipe calls for just that. A whole dozen of Hawaiian dinner rolls. Now, I might have jumped in the casket if somebody had those rolls next to it.
Yeah.
I would have, you know, because, you know, that's what they do. They fall out in the casket, but I ain't doing all that.
Well, so how old were you when you saw this first happen in your grandmother's up house, as they call it?
They stopped it, like, in, I say, around the 70s. The last person was there was, like, my great aunt. And so, but they would have the viewings at the church. But they told us these stories because my dad was always scared to go up there. And he was like, I've never spent a night there. And I used to spend the night up there, but it was a creepy house, you know. Ooh. But they would have the body there, and they would have the viewing, and they'd be eating and everything. I was like, y'all can have that one. I'm glad that they stopped it, you know, before I came along.
All right, so let's get back to the funeral rolls now. How do we make those up?
Let's get back. I'm getting back to it now. Come on now. You need
come on
1 pound of turkey lunch meat, or I use the premium turkey. Don't just get no cheap turkey. That's just like laying somebody in a casket and you putting cheap clothes on them. Don't do that. don't do that. Now get good turkey. You know, you got to be casket sharp. That's what we used to say, casket sharp. So you got to get good turkey when you laying out these rolls. And also, it called for 6 slices of Swiss cheese, but I used a 12-ounce cheese that I found. It was a real fancy cheese that I brought at the store, and it already had tomatoes and basil and garlic already in the cheese. Yes, it did. I was psyched when I seen that cheese.
Yum.
That's what inspired me to make these fennel rolls. Now, it also required, I used a 1/2 cup of grape tomatoes, and I chopped them and without the seeds in the juice. And I used 1 clove of garlic. Now, I would have used more, but I was making this dish for my husband. And if you're making this dish for my husband or Count Dracula, neither one of them are fans of garlic. But they both are suckers for me when it comes down to my blood. King. They are suckers, you know. Suckers for my love. And also, you would need 1/4 cup of chopped basil and 1/4 cup of olive oil. You'll need 3 tablespoons of melted butter, but I use ghee because I love ghee. And I used a half a teaspoon of Montreal steak seasoning and a half a teaspoon of Italian dry seasoning. 3 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce, and you would, this is what you'll do. You will put the following, I put the following in my Ninja, but if you don't have a Ninja, use your food processor. I put my oil, my tomatoes, my basil, my melted butter, and my Worcestershire sauce and my seasoning in the blender, and I blended it well, and I set that aside. The next thing I did was I sliced my rolls in the middle. I placed the bottom on the and a greased cookie sheet, and then I placed my turkey on top of my rolls, and then my cheese. I sprinkled my cheese over top of it, and after I sprinkled the cheese, I placed the other half of my rolls on top of my sandwich. After I did that, I poured that sauce that you made all over those rolls, and I covered it with foil. Now, you're going to let it marinate, because y'all know everybody that you know has to be embalmed. just like anybody that you know that you don't want, you want it to turn out right, a person laying there, you don't want them stinking and stuff. So these rolls need to marinate. So they marinated in the ice box for, I call it ice box, I know I'm so countrified, don't laugh at me, the refrigerator, for at least 4 hours or overnight, or until you're ready to heat and eat. And you're going to heat these at 350 degrees, uncovered, for about 30 minutes until the cheese is melted. And then you're going to serve it up. But I'm going to tell you all, the smell is to die for.
Wow.
I'm trying to picture marinating the actual rolls, the bread portion of it is being marinated, or just
it ain't soggy. It tastes...
Well, that's you, what I'm trying to figure that out, how it isn't soggy, but I know you put it in the fridge or the ice box.
Once you put it in the refrigerator, it marinated, like it made a seasoning over top the rolls. And once you placed it in the oven, what the oven did was warmed it up and also made it not soggy, because when the heat gets to it, anything heat gonna bake it. So it was a baked sauce on there. That's just like pizza. When you put pizza in the oven, it ain't soggy. When you put it in the oven, right, Mike?
You got that right.
Oh my goodness!
So the aroma is so good that you don't even remember there's a dead guy out in the parlor.
No, and look, and I'd be too busy eating a roll, so I ain't even worried about Uncle Fester out there.
So do you play the part of Morticia in the Addams Family?
Of course. You know, Tony always calls me Morticia. He always be like this. Go ahead and kiss me, baby.
More than me.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he don't speak French, but he do speak Spanish.
Oh, he would say.
So you gotta tell me I love you in Spanish.
Yo te quiero, mi amor.
Oh, very good.
That's very nice.
But Gomez Adams used to say caramilla.
Right. Wait. He'll say it for me. Say my name, Steady. I love that. No, he don't want to say it. He's shy.
Oh, he's getting shy.
You can't do that to me. He's talking about always speaking Spanish to me.
Well, that's very nice. So we have these funeral rolls, and you have a little gathering. You say a few kind words about the dearly departed, and then you ship them off.
Well, if they're not nice, you don't say nothing at all. You'd be glad they're gone.
No. See, you have nice people in your life. I know that.
Okay, well, you know what? You say some kind words, and then you'll sing a little song, and then the best part is when they say mortician, and when the mortician comes, it's all over with. Stick a fork in them, they done.
Oh, my goodness,
Well, I
Donna.
Can't think of a better way to end than that.
Yeah, there
little
we go.
Departing comment from Donna from Delaware.
That's right,
Miss
stick a fork in us, we done.
Sorry, yeah, we are. So, Donna Delights, will you be sharing some more fun and family stories next week?
Of course, because, you know, life is forgiven and food is life is for living and food is forgiven, and Donna is out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Donna.
Bye, y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
Funeral rolls.
Is she a spitfire or what?
You and Daryl going to have some funeral rolls some night?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, what is the bread she used?
Yeah, it's got to be a pretty dense, like a pretty crusty bread, I would
maybe
think.
Maybe like a finger roll, I was thinking?
Yeah,
or,
something
I'm
a little
not
more
sure.
dense, but yeah, we never got to that, I guess.
Well, I was afraid to ask.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh, you're listening to Food for Thought, and we are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we are going to be here with author Randy Clemens, and he wrote a cookbook, actually a couple of cookbooks, mm-hmm. on one of my favorite hot sauces. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. You can see our beautiful studio. We'd also like to remind you to like us on our Facebook page or actually our brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. And from there, you can actually go to our Facebook page as well. And do you have to shout out some more sponsors?
We probably should do that because, after all, without them, we are nothing.
That's right.
Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, and Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street, Manchester, belmonthall.net. All right, so the hot ingredient, I think it was the ingredient of the year named by Bon Appetit magazine at some time in the recent past, and it was something that probably up to a couple of years ago I was not aware of. So in the world of food, when you look at the big picture, it's still a relative newcomer, but it's good enough and important enough to have had a couple of books written about it, a couple of cookbooks, and in the studio today is Randy Clemens. Listen to his very interesting background. Graduate of the California School of Culinary Arts. Of course, the author of the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lover's Sriracha Cookbook. He's also a writer. He's been in Gourmet and Sevier magazine. And perhaps the most interesting thing I found is that he sings Barbershop with Pacific Coast Harmony.
Well, it was with Pacific Coast Harmony when I lived in San Diego. I actually, since just moving here to Manchester less than a month ago, my first night here, I drove down to Nashua to sing with the Granite Statesmen.
Did you?
Awesome.
Yeah, group that's here.
Wow.
So,
I know them, too.
Yeah, it was really fantastic.
Didn't take you long to ferret them out, huh?
No, I came here knowing very well I wanted to be going there every week. I missed practice last night, so if any of them is listening right now, I'm sorry. I'll be there next week, for sure.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're an avid traveler and a travel writer. I mean, you've gone to most of the corners of the earth, a lot of time in Southeast Asia and Europe, and so expanding your palate. And what brought you to Sriracha? Because at one time it was a niche, but now it's very mainstream, isn't it?
It certainly has started becoming a lot more mainstream. When I found it, I was in high school, and a dear friend of mine who's actually probably coming out in June from Los Angeles to visit, we've been friends since high school. He's Vietnamese, and I'd never had Vietnamese food before. I'm quite white, for those of you who can't see me on the radio. But I'd never had Vietnamese food before. And so he lived much closer to my high school than I did. And we were both in the band and jazz band, marching band. We were both very involved in music. And so I spent a lot of time at his house after Friday night football games. The marching band would play there, and I'd usually just sleep at his house Saturday morning, 8 a.m. We'd have to be back on the field for practice all day Saturday. So, and when I tasted his mom's cooking, like, I didn't mind being at his place one iota. I didn't already, but that just really sealed the deal. And so one day she had just made a bowl of this Vietnamese fried rice, gom kien, and there was just a bottle of sriracha out on the table. No one was using it. No one told me to use it. I wasn't a hot sauce person. It just looked interesting, and I tried it, and after that first taste, the clouds parted and the sun shone through. And,
isn't it amazing?
The angels sang.
And yeah, it was. And his mom laughed at how much I was using, and
oops.
It kind of became a running joke, and so she'd bring out the food and the sriracha for me. They loved how much I loved it, and back then you couldn't get it everywhere, and so when they went to the local Asian market, the Ranch 99 market, they picked up a bottle for me, and so then I had it in my home, and started over time not just using it as a condiment on things, but also as an ingredient in things, and really just really loved its sort of chameleon effect is the way I kind of point to it. It works really well with a lot of different cuisines and isn't overpowering.
It isn't.
No.
And the I think the best thing is it's one of my favorite hot sauces. I'm in love with it also. I own a diner and I serve it in my diner. I'm like, we have to have sriracha. I told my food purveyor and he's like, I don't think we can get it. I said, well, you better find it because I want it in the diners. So we serve it. But it's not the good thing about it is it's a good taste and it's not like it's hot because you want the hot, but
right.
It's not overpowering, like you said.
Yeah. Well, and do you guys cook with it or do you just have it as
a condiment? We have it as a condiment.
Okay.
We do a, one of our sandwiches has a sriracha mayo that we do with it as
well.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. Well,
and we do fool around with it because actually at Jay's Tavern, another place that I own, we have a chicken sriracha quesadilla.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So we do use it. Yeah, I guess we do.
It's a different...
And I do it home all the time. It goes in all my soups. It goes in just about everything.
Oh, cool. We're going to be friends.
I love this cookbook.
Oh, I'm so
very,
glad. Thank
very
you.
Cool.
Well, I loved it so much that I made something out
yes.
of it.
Oh, yes. Wait till you
that
see.
Familiar?
The kicked up party nuts.
Now, They look good. I mean, they have a pretty good look to them. I think this is how they're supposed to look.
Ask Randy if they look good.
They look perfect.
Yeah,
I
think they do. However, the kicked up part never happened. Try one or two and tell me, because on some of them, you do get a little bit of the kick, but not really. You know, it should be a lot more pronounced, shouldn't it?
He's
going to wait to see. Well, plus to see if there's any afterburn.
Exactly. But they look beautiful, Mike.
I love the rosemary. That was like the genius part of your recipe on that.
Thank you. Well, I will. The second you brought this one out, I wondered if you were going to say that because this is one recipe that I came back to. This is the only recipe I've come back to where I thought I should have put more sriracha. A majority of them use like a half cup.
Yes.
Quarter cup. I mean, there's a big amount, but it's also for many people.
This was just a teaspoon, I think.
If I remember, it was like two or something. It does need a little more. The flavor,
does.
I love that the flavor comes through.
Actually, it's a tablespoon.
Okay. So three tablespoons.
All right. And this is, I did a half recipe because I didn't want to blow off a whole pound of mixed nuts if it wasn't any good.
So, thanks for the faith.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, but I'm glad you did it. Yeah. I will take this opportunity to tell you, I've been wanting to update this cookbook because much has happened since it was published. And I've been speaking with my publisher, who I do love, 10 Speed Press. But I really do want to update this book because so many things have happened with the company, with the sauce since it was first published, and they don't feel it's the time to update it.
They don't want to spend the money. Let's call it what it is, right?
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And I would love very much for this to say 2 tablespoons, 3 tablespoons, whatever
right.
the right number is. But this is the only recipe I found that has that problem.
All right. Well, then it wasn't anything I necessarily did. It just need to kick it up. So what would you recommend? Did double what it calls for? Is that what you're going to do when you do the book again?
Well, so with the book, I try to sort of taste it to my taste. I mean, where I like these things, and I think people will find where their level is with that. And this is the one anomaly, like I said. This was the one where I came back and tasted it, and I was like, you know, I wish there was a little bit more on the kick. The flavor comes through, and I thank you for the rosemary nod. I love rosemary when it's done like.
Yeah.
You have to be judicious. That's one thing.
That's
where
right.
You don't want to overdo it.
No, you don't. And a couple times I forgot that I put it in there and I said, oh, yeah, that there's some rosemary in that. Because Barb has some, I was glad that we had some, live rosemary plants in the back. So I just fine chopped it.
That's even better.
I said, I've never actually made a recipe from a chef's book before and then served it to them. And when I tasted them, I said, you know what? It's about 3/4 of the way there, but the heat ain't happening.
And you picked this one. No, I'm glad you still brought it up. Because, I so want to do that update. I mean, the company moved to a much bigger factory and had a huge kerfuffle with the city.
I was going to ask
that was a couple summers ago, right?
Happening with that.
Yeah.
You know, some people say it's not open anymore. Some people say, yes, it is, but they're mainly out of their other plant. What you must know.
Well,
you're the sriracha expert.
So this is one brand. This is the main brand that everyone knows, Hoi Fong
right.
Foods. They make the sriracha everyone is pretty much familiar with, unless you were born in Thailand, in which case you probably know the actual original sriracha, which is actually quite different than the Hoi Fong Foods version. It's more of a dipping sauce. It's thinner in consistency. It's sweeter, different heat because they use different peppers. So I almost consider them different beasts. I love them both. But anyway, this company, Hoi Fong Foods, is the one that really inspired my love for sriracha. It's what introduced me to the fascinating backstory of the, you know, this gentleman who had to flee Vietnam.
Which I'd love you to tell the story if you don't mind.
Sure.
Interesting.
Sure, yeah. Let's start from the beginning. So this gentleman, David Tran, had to escape from Vietnam. He's of Chinese descent, but he was raised in Vietnam. And after the Vietnam War, people who were not of pure, pure Vietnamese descent were encouraged to leave at their own expense. And so he, as many other people did, they were called boat people, actually. There were tons of them that got on these freighter boats and escaped their country. And theirs actually waited outside of Taiwan or Hong Kong for 30 days and ended up finally getting asylum and was brought to the United States and came to Los Angeles because he heard there were chili peppers growing there. That's what he had been doing at home. He was growing peppers, losing money, started making chili sauce, started making money. And so started doing that here. It was sort of the business he knew. So with $50,000 that he had of personal savings, family savings, you know, built up this company from the ground up with no marketing, no advertising, just word of mouth. And it was originally just to serve his community of fellow Vietnamese. I mean, people that were looking for something for their noodle soup, for pho. And so that's where he got his start, and it's just grown. It's taken 30 years. It's a 30-year overnight success.
Well, exactly. But there's also kind of an East Coast connection because, as I recall, he arrived in the port of Boston.
That is correct. Right? I didn't mean to skip that part. He did arrive in Boston and was drawn to Los Angeles because of the jalapeno peppers that were growing there. Mm-hmm. And that's where he's stayed now for 30 years.
Have you met him?
Yes, several times.
Really?
Yeah, and it was really great to see him in his new factory and have him show me around. He's so proud. He's 70 now, and he's there 6 days a week. And I've never met someone quite so hardworking. He's always there and just is so in tune with his factory. He designed and engineered a lot of the pieces of equipment that do all the work, and his employees just love him.
Does he have kids? Do his kids work there? And
he
is
does
it like
have
a family
kids.
Business?
Yeah, very much a family business, and his son-in-law is very involved, but it feels as though his business is one of his children as well. I mean, he loves his work, and he loves how much people love his sauce.
That is great.
He's really genuine, and he's...
The work ethic is remarkable,
yeah,
isn't
he
it?
Yeah, he came here and did hard work, and that's his message. He really tries to pay forward, is it... If you're not getting what you want tomorrow, it's because you didn't put the work in today.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He said that. He was on Andrew Zimmern not too long ago, and that quote just really stuck out to me. And
So what was it, his factory that had to be closed down because of the burning sensation in the adjacent neighborhoods?
Yeah, so there was this problem they had with the city of Irwindale. So there was their new factory was in Irwindale in Southern California. And they'd been in a previous factory for nearly 30 years across the street from a child care center, and never any complaints of odor or burning or anything like that. But they moved to the city of Irwindale with a pretty lucrative loan from the city, and they paid it back 7 years early. And this is what I hear from rumor mills, is that there was no prepayment penalty clause, and so they were missing out on 7 years of interest, and they weren't thrilled about it. So you get 60, I believe there were 61 complaints that were filed about this smell and this odor, and 41 of them were from the same four families. And one of those families, was one of the city council members' sons.
Oh, something smells.
And it starts, something starts smelling, but it's not the chili sauce, right?
Yeah,
it's,
right.
So, and it's, unfortunately, that's something that I can see a lot of. I mean, there's, that fueled a lot of California sentiments, a lot of anti-government statements. And in the paper, I mean, I get Google alerts about sriracha, and I started getting all these ones from business magazines that were saying, like, California unfriendly to business, and this Toyota factory just closed, 44,000 jobs had just gone to Texas, and all of a sudden this congressman from Texas was saying, Hoi Fong Foods, hey, come here. And so it finally got up to the governor's office, and he sent a delegation down, and, you know, it got taken care of that very day. They settled something. I don't know what happened, but it was just like magic.
So they took advantage of this man who worked so hard, and I don't know if he had good lawyers at first, or if he was just bullied by the system, or what.
Well, what he ended up doing that I think was really productive was it was sort of run almost like the Willy Wonka the chocolate factory. It was very, very closed. You know, it was a closed. It was a factory. There's not all too many food production facilities. Certainly not, any large scale farming operations for, for animals or eggs. But anyway, he opened his doors and started doing tours and had people fill out questionnaires. Did you describe the smell? Was there an odor? How was your skin? And did you enjoy yourself? Why did you come? And the outpouring of support that they saw in comment sections and, and just the overwhelming resounding answer was, look, we don't want to be a nuisance to this city. That's not what we're here for. And, we feel we're being singled out for something we're not doing, but let's work with you. And they ended up doing some work to their ventilation system and all that to address some issues that perhaps they did find were there. So it did get worked out. But that's, and then that sort of feeds into a reason why I moved to New Hampshire, too. I don't know if you're familiar with the Free State Project.
Oh, yes.
But I like the idea of small government and finding leaders in government. But I also love New Hampshire, and I'm just so taken with the beauty and the kindness of that. And I'm being so genuine, the kindness, the
overwhelming. What are you talking about?
The overwhelming kindness of people has just been so refreshing. And not that there aren't great people in Los Angeles. It's just, it seems to be a little more universal here. So thanks for helping me feel welcome and at home here.
Very welcome. We should take a break. And by the way, were they using the Whammo factory where they used to make
their original
Frisbees and stuff?
Well, not their original factory, but the Rosemead factory they were in previous to this one for many years. That was the old Whammo factory.
Isn't that crazy?
That is
That's
crazy.
That's wild. Randy Clements, our guest, author of the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lovers Sriracha Cookbook. They are available, I'm sure, all major bookstores, Amazon. And everything else.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. All right. Well, your money will go a little further here in New Hampshire than it did in L.A. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, there's that too. So, very much so.
We'll talk a little more sriracha and a couple recipes I want to point out that sound really good to me when we come back. This is Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, WTPL, The Pulse, 107.7.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and we are in studio with author Randy Clements. He has written two books on sriracha, my favorite hot sauce. And, I want to talk, I know we just talked a little bit on the break, but I wanted to ask you, L.A. Sriracha Festival, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Like, how did that come? I mean, You just said, okay, I'm going to start a festival, and you just did it? How did that?
This was your festival?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, well, a buddy of mine, Josh Lurie, he runs a website called Food GPS, and he does some festivals in Los Angeles. He's done a fried chicken festival, and a
Donna would love that.
He's done a couple different ones, and he'd been a friend for years, and I'd gone to a couple of his events, and just really, I value his attention to detail, and I just thought how cool it would be to have a festival where all these different chefs from around Los Angeles, which is where I was born and raised, so that's why I keep talking about it. If you're just tuning in, you're not on the
Very
wrong
good.
Station. I just thought how cool it would be to have. We ended up having something like 18 different chefs making these dishes of their own creation. We weren't trying to direct them in any way. That what's the point at that point? But just to use sriracha in some way, and it was incredible the kind of food we got. And 1,000 people came out at some really really neat venues, live music, and we had beers specially made with sriracha and cocktails and desserts. Ooh. And
if I would have known about it, I would have went. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Now, what about doing one here in Manchester? Wouldn't that be cool? Because a lot of the chefs around here. A lot of people use sriracha. They really do. Have you been out to eat at all around?
Just a few places. So, I've just been here less than a month. Taj India I like a lot.
Because
Indian food I'm a sucker for.
Yeah, it's very good. That's fairly new, too. And they're doing a really good job right here on Elm Street.
Yeah, and Republic. I went to when I
is very
first
good.
Came
I can
out.
See you at Republic.
That was my first, when I came out in November to kind
number
of scout
one
to see.
In the Hippo.
Oh, yeah?
Top 50 restaurants in the city. Republic number one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I went there when I first came to get a feel to see, what was New Hampshire?
What's the vibe, right?
Yeah, is live free or die a real thing? And so I came out, check it out, and had my first my first meal at Republic. And actually, I got to chat with a friend of mine who works at Stone Brewing Company in San Diego. I lived there for a few years, and I worked with them on a book. The brewmaster there, Mitch Steele, worked at the Merrimack Anheuser-Busch facility, and he lived here for, I think, 14 years. And so that was the time, right when I sat down at Republic and was waiting for my food, we were able to connect on the phone. And I said, hey, this is completely out of the blue. I haven't really talked to anyone about this, but I'm thinking of moving, you know, to New Hampshire, and I'm here right now, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. And he just paused for a second. He said something effective. If I could do my same job and keep working for Stone, but anywhere in the world, I would pick New Hampshire. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
Wow.
So it was pretty great to walk around with those words behind. So, yeah.
Sriracha Festival in New Hampshire.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
We had the International Chili Competition 2 years in a row here. Mm-hmm. So maybe there would be some appetite for that.
And I'm a sucker for chili, for good chili. And
yeah.
I've had my vegan chili beat meat chilies in several tastes.
I believe
off,
that.
So
I believe
it can
that.
Be done. It can be done.
Have you heard of Cafe Indigo?
I haven't.
They're actually, their storefront has closed, but they sell their stuff, and they actually sell it across the country. They sell a lot to not Trader Joe's. What's that other one that's going
Whole Foods?
Into Whole Foods? Whole mm-hmm. Foods. You can buy their stuff in there, and you also can buy their stuff at the Concord Co-op in Concord.
Okay.
But their vegan stuff, oh my gosh, so so good. Because my son was a vegan for quite a few years, and every year or so we'll do vegan together. I'll do it with him for like 3 or 4 days. We'll go away together, and we stopped at Cafe and to go to get our meals before we left. And
oh, cool.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. I just went to Concord on Monday. There's a new vegan place there called Willow's that was good.
Willows.
Yeah, okay. Brand new. There was another place that was there before it, but right on Main Street.
Okay.
But I forget the name of the other. The owner's mother owns another vegan restaurant. Some Susties, I think it was called. I could be wrong.
Oh, I know where that is. It's right next door to J-Dog.
Sorry if I'm wrong.
J-Dog, isn't that right next door to you?
What is?
What is the vegan restaurant that's right next door to you?
There was there. They opened
up
a new one.
Is it not there anymore?
Oops.
Moon
Revolution closed down. Yeah.
Yes. This is now called Willow's
Plant-Based
Eatery.
Okay. That's
so yeah, it was good. I liked it.
So then I guess I shouldn't ask you about the ultimate sriracha burger. That
no, you still can.
Yeah. Okay. My only thing looking at is like, do not wear long sleeves when you eat that, right?
Sure. Well, so I'm not 100% vegan. I'm vegetarian, but cheese and eggs still sneak their ways in, especially if I know where they're coming from.
Right.
But so in both books, I tried to do an ultimate sriracha burger. In the first, it's decidedly carnivorous. I mean, you've got your caramelized onions are cooked in bacon fat, and the bacon is, of course, on the burger, and the burger patty has some sriracha mixed into it. And then there's like a blue cheese sriracha dressing on it. There's some arugula and Swiss cheese. That was the other thing that's in there. It's a really hefty burger. I mean, you really got to be in the mood for not moving for a little while afterwards. And then in the veggie book, there's a black bean burger that's also really good. It's a cumin sriracha aioli, if I remember right.
Mm.
I believe there's roasted red peppers, mushrooms, and lentils or black beans just in the patty, but it's a really, really nice burger as well. So
I love how you paid tribute to Spam in your first book, and you actually did the backstory on, you know, the Spam itself, where it came from, and then, of course, getting into the cultural aspects, you know, Monty Python, and Spam is now the messages we don't want. So the book has really nice accents of some other cultural and just kind of fun things in addition to the actual recipes.
Thanks. Yeah, well, the shout-out to Spam, that Vietnamese fried rice, the cơm chiên that I had, was made with this like a Vietnamese or Chinese like dry style sausage. That's really good, but is certainly harder to find. And really, yeah, Spam is prevalent in a lot of these sort of war torn countries, because those are the rations that the U.S. often sends, is this canned non perishable meat, and that can be available at a subsidy. And so it has very. There's recipes in Korea that revolve around canned products just from when they were receiving rations during their war. And so I think there's a really neat story behind that. And I love stories. I think that's what made me fall into being a writer. It was certainly unexpected, as was becoming vegetarian. But I do. I love stories, and I love finding backstories. And when I started thinking about all these sriracha recipes I'd inadvertently been creating, then when I heard the backstory of how David Tran got here from Vietnam, it was like, oh, okay, there's a book how do I do this before someone else realizes it?
And the pictures in the book are beautiful pictures.
Oh, and I wish I could take more than, I mean, I can take the slightest bit of credit for like two for asking them that kindly to move a little thing. But Leo Gong is the photographer on both books. He's based in San Francisco, and he works with a great team, and the food stylist, Karen Shinto, she's this small, tiny little woman who I'd never mess with. I bet she could just break me in half if I said something wrong to her, but she's really great at her job, and I admire both of their focus, and it's so great to watch them work because they're just in the moment, and it's so cool to get to watch them
do their thing.
It's something that my mind doesn't work that way. I'm just now for figuring out how to kind of use my camera. I got a good camera, so it does most of the work for me.
Yeah, it's an i6, right?
Yeah, well, heck yeah, they're sure making it easier.
Yeah, they are.
But you know, it's still to get to watch someone, you know, I don't know how to alter lighting and things like that, and to get to watch them play with natural light and make it do the things they want to do, and to capture this, you know, it's just really neat to get to watch them with little droppers and stuff. They're really not making, they're making it look great, but they're making the food. We eat it all afterwards. You know, that's the other great thing. Everything in those pictures is, we ate it. I mean, it did not go to waste. And so there's no, you know, mashed potatoes to make look like fake ice cream and stuff. And so it's neat to get to watch when they have to do ice cream, the extra steps they go to.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd love your take on the Bloody Mary. I had a margarita in San Juan that was the same idea, where the ice cube was a really hot jalapeno something, and the longer it sat there, the hotter the drink got, much like your Bloody Mary. And they called it like some kind of a world heating type of thing. Ooh. Or something. It was great.
Oh, thanks.
I can't wait to try that.
Well, there you go. Well, we're so glad that you came by to meet us. Welcome to New Hampshire.
Thank
we welcome you.
You
with open arms. You bring good food and good ideas, and we can't wait to see what you do here.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you as much.
Thank you.
The book is, you just mentioned, the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lover Sriracha Cookbook by our guest, Randy Clemens.
And you can also check him out on the web, too, at randyclemens.com. He has a great website. Eat, think, you know, it's very, very, very good website. So I won't be here tomorrow, but Mike, you will be here tomorrow. Comedy Cold Cuts, and he has a nice show in store. So I'll see everybody next week. Bye.